Turn your Bible back to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Thank you for that awesome card. A whole bunch of people signed it. I saw that. And then we got to go away for a night on our 26th wedding anniversary. And Sarah put a sign up in the back of our car that said, just married 26 years. So that was pretty cool. People were honking at us and stuff. It's pretty neat. That's what you do after the wedding, you know, honk, and that was fun. So thank you for the opportunity. Judges chapter 13, let's read verses 1 through 9. Judges 13, 1 through 9. Okay, you guys ready? Here we go. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said to her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, listen, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything, any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And that's the, so that was a prayer of Manoah to ask God, can you put that away? Ask God to help him to raise his son. Now, just look at chapter 15, Judges 15, beginning in verse 14. Here's what happened before we start reading that. This is just after the Philistines had killed Samson's girlfriend and her family because he caught 300 fox, tied their tails together, stuck a firebrand in between them, and set them loose in a field, and it burnt up all their grain, got into the vineyards, burned down their vineyards, so basically destroyed all their crops. And so, in revenge, they killed his girlfriend, the one that he liked at first, and all her family. Killed them all. So now we find, after this had just happened, look at verse 14, chapter 15. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, his bands loose from off his hands. He found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. He didn't just beat them, killed them with a bone. That's supernatural. Verse 17, it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi, which is the hill of the jawbone. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. When he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi, unto this day. It's the well of him that cried. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So he didn't do all bad, did he? Judged Israel for 20 years after that. But he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. And then he was parched. I suppose you would be too after trying to whoop up on 1,000 people. You know, I think we have 93 people here. to fight all you guys. I mean, it would wipe you out. But he did 1,000 of them. He was just wiped out. And so he cried out to God, and God cut a hole in the jaw and gave him water to drink. But he cried, But look how he did it. In that verse, 18, he was sore thirst. He called on the Lord, said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" In other words, will you not take care of me now that I just served you? So it was sort of a selfish prayer, kind of commanding God. All right. Well, we tend to pray when everything that we can do fails. Last ditch effort praying. And this message is really about going beyond just praying when everything is going really bad and there's nothing else you can do, to learn how to pray. Talk to God for victory. We learned that Samson had the power to defeat the entire Philistine army, but he wasted it on himself, really. So we're going to try and go beyond that to praying all the time, not just when we need, selfish prayers for ourselves. It is possible, Dr. Ledbetter said, to honor God with your words and yet your heart be far from God. Samson just did it there in Judges 15, when he cried up to God, and yet he didn't love the Lord. According to the text, he apparently didn't have that close of a walk with God. Albeit he did cry out to God when he needed him at the very last minute. Israel did it too. In Matthew 15 and verse 8, speaking of Israel, it says that the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. So many of our prayers are just for ourselves. And there is, in fact, a way to get everything that you need from God without having to spend a lot of time asking for it. We're going to talk about that in just a second, if you'll stay with me. I want to look at some examples of people who prayed very selfishly, just for themselves. I think God has given all the people, if you're born again, in this room, raise your hand. I'm born again. I know the Lord is my Savior. So there's a lot of people here. We've got a whole army that could take the land, not just Ireland, for Christ, but the world. We have the potential. Are we going to use it for God or on ourselves? Kind of like Samson did. And I think that's the gist of it. Got to learn, I think, how to pray, though, for God to help us. So I want to look at an example of somebody who prayed very selfishly. Turn your Bible back to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. This is Jacob. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20. Genesis chapter 28. Verse 20. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. That's 29. Hold on. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." And we have Jacob bargaining with God. "If you'll clothe me, keep me, and feed me so that I come again to my father's house, then, I'll serve you. I'll even give you some money." Did you ever do that? You ever bargain with God? "If you let me do this without my mom and dad finding out about it, I'm not kidding, I'll follow you." Or something like that. "If you just help me out of here." A lot of people, that's the only way they pray. When they're really in trouble, they can't figure out how to get out of it, then they cry unto God. And what we want to do is try to pray like Manoah did. Manoah prayed for wisdom to raise his son, that first passage I read to you. He asked God to help him before the problem came. Jacob was just trying to make a deal with God. That's what a lot of people do. Just try to cut a deal with God. But if you know him, you should be able to learn how to pray and walk with him all the time, so God gives you power and grace to serve him and to be victorious all the time. Be careful about making vows. Jacob made a vow. He vowed a vow and said, if you will bring me back, give me clothes to eat, food, clothes to wear, food to eat, he said, then I'll serve you. If you bring me back here in peace, I'll even make this a temple of God. So he made a deal with him. Be careful making vows to God. The Bible says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that that thou hast vowed. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4, it's better not to vow than to vow a vow unto God and not pay it. You say, yep, just get me through this camp and I swear I will do thus and so. No, don't do that. Be careful just making promises to God that you don't intend to keep, because he's going to hold you accountable. Fools make a mock at sin, the Bible says. Fools say in their heart, there is no God. But God knows your thoughts. Let's look at that for a second. We talk about praying and making vows to God and stuff like that. Genesis chapter 18. Look at Genesis 18. This is Sarah. Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse 11 of Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Verse 11. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxen old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You did laugh. She didn't even laugh out loud. She just laughed in her heart. And God said, nope, you did laugh. I heard you. What does that mean? You put that under your chair, would you? Just put it under your chair. Thank you, good man. She didn't even laugh out loud, but God knew. So God knows the thoughts. So does he know your prayers? He does. He knows what you're saying, even if you don't even say it, because he knows your thoughts. You need to be careful about that. Making vows to God, making promises to God. Don't even make them in your heart that you don't intend to keep, because he's going to hold you accountable for it. All right, anyways, wouldn't it be awesome if some of us in this room right now would believe that all things are possible with God? She laughed within herself and doubted God, and that's why he said in verse 14, is anything too hard for God? I think it'd be cool if a bunch of us in this room could get it in our mind that all things are possible with God if we would get his help, if he would work with us. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Samson did not tie 300 foxtails together by himself. God helped him. He didn't kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass by himself. That was the power of God. He didn't pull that building down on his head by himself. That was the power of God. There were 3,000 people upstairs. Pretty interesting. The problem is that we tend to pray very selfishly for our own self. Lord, let me win the lotto. And I'm not kidding. I'll give you some money. I'm going to spend the rest on me, but I'll give some to the church. Really? Ever pray that prayer? No, just let me win the lotto. I'm not kidding. I'll give some to missions and everything. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. And really, that's what Jacob is doing when he was making a deal with God. Can you put that down? Thank you. It is possible to pray to God and your heart not be right with him. That's what Isaiah 29:13 said. The Lord said of Israel, this people draw near me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Don't be like Delilah. Let's go back and look at that for a second. Samson, Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. This is Samson's third romance. He had that one girlfriend that he really liked down in the Philistine. She was a Philistine. She died after the after he burned the fields. They killed her and her parents. Then Samson, the Bible says in chapter 16, he went to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. And it was told to Gaza, saying, Samson's come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and he went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that's before Hebron. That's about 20 miles away. So he grabs the whole gate of the city, puts it up on his back, and hauls the thing 20 miles to the top of a mountain. Bar and all, hauled it all. Well, that was the power of God in this guy. He had gone into a harlot, and it almost killed him. And it probably may kill you too. Don't ever do that. But then later, he fell in love with a woman named Delilah. Verse 4, came to pass afterward that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. She asked him three times. She begged him every day, really. But three times in particular, in verse 6, and then in verse 10, and then in verse 13, she pled with him on a daily basis to try and get him to reveal where his power was so that she could weaken him and they could destroy him because the Philistines hated him. Look at verse 13. Delilah said to Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks in thy head with the web, she fastened with the pin and said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. She said to him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with the words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and will be like any other man. And so he fell asleep on her lap. By the Arah, he was weakened and he became a slave. He might have loved her, but I pull it off again, sorry. A long time ago I did that. He might have loved her, but she didn't love him. She was in it for the money. What are we trying to say? I'm trying to say that her heart was not with him. And how do we say that we're for God if our heart is not with him? Delilah was praying to Samson to discover himself to her so she could get rich. And don't be like that. Self-seeking. That's what she was doing. She was just trying to convince him to give himself up so she could make a lot of money. Because they told her in verse 16, they would give her, all of them would give her 1,000 pieces of silver. In verse 5, we'll give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. In verse 5, she was just doing it to make money. Sometimes we pray to God just to get rich, just for ourselves, just for selfish gain. I guess what I'm trying to say is try to go beyond that. We're going to learn how to go beyond that in just a minute. So Delilah accused Samson of having a heart that was not with her. And how can we say that we love God when our heart is not with him? Some people, I guess right now in this room, our heart's not with him. Jonah said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Let's go back and look at Jonah for a second. Look at the book of Jonah. It's one of the minor prophets, the book of Jonah. Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, Jonah had been called to go to Nineveh, a great city. In verse 2, the Lord said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to go. So he took ship, going the opposite direction. God was with him and brought a great storm to stop him. When the fellow mariners found out about him, they asked him what he was doing. He said, "I'm trying to run away from God." Verse 9, "I fear the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, said to him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said to them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." So when the mariners threw him over the side, at his own suggestion, the storm ceased. But now Jonah was laying in the sea. And he would have drowned, but God prepared a big whale of a fish to pick him up. And when he got down in the, after 3 days, he was down in the belly of a great big fish at the bottom of the sea. Then he cried to God and asked for his help. That's what I'm saying. It was a last ditch effort prayer. "God, get me out of here. I'm scared." That's really what he did. After 3 days and nights, he repented and he prayed unto God. In chapter 2 and verse 7, that's what it says. "When my soul fainted within me, then I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple." And God did deliver him. Jonah did go to Nineveh, and he preached. 120,000 people heard the word. If you look in verse chapter 4 and verse 11, there's 120,000 people there. They got to hear the word of God. But I wonder how many people died that week when Jonah was living in rebellion. He was supposed to go to Nineveh. I know you guys are young, all you boys in here. And I know that this is weird. We're in the middle of camp, sunshine, it's awesome outside, I'd rather do something else. I don't blame you. But this is a scheduled meeting for you to think about this for a second. Too many of us just pray for our own, we're just praying for ourselves. But there's potential in here to reach the world for Christ. The world needs to be reached for Christ. We are living in Jesus Christ is coming back. A lot of parents, family members, relatives, neighbors, school friends, mates are going to hell. Nobody goes to heaven by default. I just told the guy that today. I got an opportunity to go to a B&B, spent there. Today, I was standing there talking to the guy. He was amazed that there were over 90 kids down here going to camp. "You mean the monks let you use that?" And he said, "Yeah, they do. This is a camp. It's a Boy Scout camp. They don't mind." I got to tell him about the Lord. It was great. But he would not receive Christ. All his family, all his years, he's been in one religion, and he doesn't want to receive Christ. But I told him the truth. Look, there's a lot of potential right here to winning Christ. People need the Lord. They do. I wonder how many people died before Jonah got there because he was living in rebellion, though, that whole week when he was going his own way before he finally got to Nineveh. Yeah, he got there, and he did preach, and they heard the word of him and the word of the king, and praise the Lord, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. That's great. Jonah could have asked God for grace to go to Nineveh and do God's will before that, but he didn't. He waited until he was in the belly of the whale of a fish, and then he cried out to God. Samson waited until, you know, his very last breath. We're going to go and look at that right now. I want to look at that verse of Scripture. He waited till the last minute to get right with God. Look at Judges chapter 16. A few moments, we're going to go down, get an ice pop. Stay with me for just a second. Go back to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. It's so hard to preach in the afternoon. Judges 16:23. This is the end of Samson's life. This is the story about the little craft that you kids are going to go down and work on in a few minutes. The young people are going to go down, and we're going to break here in a few moments. Everybody's going to go down. You're going to have an ice pop and have a good time. And then the young people are going to stay down there and do crafts, and your teens are going to come back up. Thank you. That's good. All right. This is the end of his life, though. This is where he makes his cry out to God. Verse 23 of chapter 16. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, not the God of heaven. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. You know why? Because he didn't have any eyeballs. They pulled his eyeballs out. He compromised. And he fell to sin. They took away his eyes. He's blind. He's chained to these pillars. And he asked the kid, let me feel the pillars. So the kid leads him to the pillars and he's standing there. And then he says, and verse 27, the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And I guess if you were to look up, we couldn't get 3,000 men and women on top of this roof. It would take the whole thing, probably out to the road. Get 3,000 men and women. It would take this whole building all the way up. It would be a huge building, folks. 3,000 men and women. There's only over 100 people in this room right now. Over 3,000. A lot of people up there. Verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood on, which was borne up of the one with his right hand, one the other with his left. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the Hall of Faith. You've heard of the Hall of Fame. I don't know, maybe it's an American thing. But the guys who do great sports things, they induct them into the Hall of Fame. Ones who've hit the most home runs, did the most yards, and playing football and stuff. They get into the Hall of Fame. This is the Hall of Faith. These are people who exercise great faith, and God put them in the Bible for us as examples. In Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 32. What shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. By faith, Samson was able to really do what he was meant to do in the first place, and that was to destroy the Philistines. But he took out 3,000 of them in his death, killing more than he ever did in his life. How much more may he possibly have done if he would have asked God when he was young, God, give me the power to whoop up on these enemies. You know what I'm saying to you guys? Learn how to do that. Stop praying so you can have money and be rich and be famous or do whatever you need to do. Turn your prayer over to saying, God, I want to be used by you. I'd like the power. I'd like the power and the strength. Use my talents for you. Would you use me? Would you guide and direct my life? Would you do it now while you're a teenager, not wait till you're half dead to cry unto God and say, please, God, I'm about ready to die. I'd like to be used to you. That's what a lot of people do, though. They wait till the wait till the dead. Before I ask God, before I ask the Lord to save my soul, I thought I would run my life, just do what I wanted, party hardy, and then somewhere at the last, get a priest to come and give me my last rites and then call it good. Go to heaven. Be with everybody else. It doesn't work like that. One thing I'll tell you this is you don't know how you're going to die. You've got no clue. You could die today. You know what I mean? It only takes a drink of water that had poison in it or something. I don't know. You live by faith all the time. All of us do. You exercise faith every day. All I'm saying is, try to turn that from just selfish. When you're teens, when you're young people, really that's what life is. It's about me. And really, you got to get up. You got to get past that. Samson didn't realize his purpose in life. And he wasted it. So I guess I'm challenging you to learn how to pray to God now. And not just vain repetitions. Our Father, which art in heaven, that is good. But that's not praying to God. Wouldn't it be awesome if we, the people of this camp, began right now to trust the Lord for strength and endurance, really, to win Ireland and the world for Christ? All right, I told you at the beginning that you can really get a lot of things, everything you need from God without spending a lot of time praying for it. Here's what you do. Pray for one another to finish camp well. Oh, that'd be great. Pray for your teammates. Oh, they're having struggling with the verses. Why don't you pray for them? Pray that they would do something to help the team. You could do that. You could pray for your teammates. That might help. You might actually get a higher score. You know, you'll find yourself being strengthened. Pray for one another to finish camp well, and you'll find God will give you grace as well. Pray for your teachers to have wisdom, and you'll find yourself growing in wisdom. You know, after this camp, August is here. I used to hate my birthday. August 11th, man. I knew after that I was going back to school. I hated that. I hated going to school. What a dumb thing to hate going to school. I didn't like teachers. Pray for your teachers. You know what'll happen? You'll start getting wisdom. It's the strangest thing. You start praying for them, and you'll start growing in wisdom. Pray for your friends, that they'll have courage and tenacity to avoid pitfalls, and that they would stand up for Christ. You know what? You'll find yourself standing up for Christ. You're basically going to get what you pray for others. You pray for others, and God will give it back to you. It's the strangest thing, but that's the way it works. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Solomon asked God for wisdom. You've probably heard that. If you were here at camp before and we had the camp on Solomon, that's what he did. He got on his face. He was invited to be the king over Israel. So he got on his face and said, God, the Lord said, ask me anything you want. What would you ask God? He didn't pray a selfish prayer. He prayed, God, give me wisdom so I'll know how to go out and come in and how to teach these people. I'm like a child. I don't know how to do it. He didn't ask for money, a Beamer, or a, you know, Mercedes, or whatever you like. Aston Martin, or, yeah, exactly. Something cool. He prayed for wisdom. And you know what God gave him? Wealth, riches, and the opportunity to live a long life. Pretty cool. God gave it to him. When Manoah sought God's help in raising his son, he asked God for wisdom. That's what Judges 12:8 was when I read that to you. And God answered him. Samuel's parents taught him well. They prepared him for victory. And he would have done well had he chosen wisely. What's the problem? As your faith starts to grow, the devil is going to try to bring you down. He's going to tempt you. That's what he did. He brought a harlot before Samson. Samson went into her like a fool, like an ox led to the slaughter. Went right into the her, and it almost killed him. If he wouldn't have been able to pick up that whole doorway, lock, stock, and barrel, all the way, he would have died. the devil will try to cut you down. He's going to try and stop you. That's why you need to go to church when the doors are open every time. Every one of you guys, you need to go to church. You don't. You laugh at church. Some people actually mock it. I don't need to go to church. What's church? You know, that's where you're going to learn about people like Samson. That's where you're going to learn about Abraham. That's where you're going to learn about Barak and Jephthah. You probably don't know who those people are. They were people who by faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, stopped the violence of fire, stopped the mouths of lions. Out of weakness were made strong. People who had faith in God. And God honored them for their faith. He'll do the same thing for you. He will. And maybe you don't believe that, but it's a truth. And I'm saying today, try to stop just praying for yourself, for stuff that you can get, and start praying for others' strength. And if you're going to pray, at least pray that God would make you the kind of man or woman that would please Him so you could bring honor and glory to Him, that you would help you be a man or woman of faith so that you can bring glory and honor to God. Read your Bible, walk with godly friends, and pray about everything. Not vain repetitions, like I said. Matthew 5, verse 7. That's what the heathen do. They just say, they just keep repeating the same thing. You know, Allah and Muhammad's a prophet of Allah, and blah, 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 blah. And they think God is somehow going to bless, amongst other things. That's just an example. But He doesn't. God listened to the laughter of Sarah. He heard her in her heart. They'll listen to you. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then ask often. There's a story in Luke about an unjust judge who didn't want to give this woman anything. But she kept coming to him every day. She was sort of like Delilah. She just kept on going back and asking Samson. So don't be like her in a selfish sense, but be like her in praying to God. Don't stop. Keep asking. Keep going to church. Keep living for the Lord. And keep asking God to use you. And He will. Don't wait until you're nearly dead to cry out to God. Do it today. Do it often. Do it with the right heart attitude. Not just for yourself, but for the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know there's a bunch of people in this room who are just weary. We're going to go have a break right now. I pray for a refreshing few moments down there at break time. But I pray that You would help us to get past ourselves and start living for the glory of God. Teach us to pray and to enjoy talking to You. And stop just pretending that You're some kind of a cosmic killjoy. Help us to believe in You. And to trust You as our God who does answer prayer, who actually knows the thought of our heart. I ask You to bless in this time. We go down and refresh ourselves. Bring us back with the right heart attitude. We might learn again something from Your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.